you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Really cool chicken do comes on the show this week. E.G. Daily. You may not know her name, but you certainly know her voice from anything from Tommy Pickles, from the Rugrats, Powerpuff Girls, Buttercup. She used to be Pee-wee Herman's girlfriend in the old TV show and a bunch of other unique things, even performing live on SNL in a musical group back in the 80s. Just a super cool chick. James Madden comes in and does the interview with me. She has a brand new album out right now. Remember, we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. Get a 7-day free trial. You could have heard the show 5 days earlier. Sans commercials at gasdigitalnetwork.com with the code SDR. But really, all we want you to do is share the show as much as possible. We've been in the top 100 lately in comedy, in the top 50 in comedy interview, so we say thank you to you. And here it is right now, the EG Daily episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far. You need to know.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, the goddamn birthday boy himself, James Madden. How are you, sir?
Thank you, baby. Baby, we're doing great. This is going to be exciting. Gray on gray. I don't care what some people say.
Fuck I love it. It's black on gray. Listen, by the way, I put in on your Facebook page, you are one of my top five favorite co-hosts on this show.
Oh, thank you. You only have five co-hosts.
I think we have four. I just decided to add it anyway.
You son of a... Thank you,
so
baby.
I'm going to introduce our guest today in a very unique way. This doesn't happen to me very often, where the more I research someone, the more I go, holy shit. Like, oh my God. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So it kept happening over and over again. I would say probably most people know this woman as a voiceover artist, but her career is so much more than that. It's crazy. When I look into, you were a guest musical performance on Saturday Night Live. You were in Friends. You sang the goddamn intro song to Two and a Half Men. You had pop hits on the radio. You were interviewed by Dick Clark. I mean, I could go on and on. It amazes me how much you've done, not to mention the voice of Babe as well. And it's a Powerpuff Girls. We'll get into all of it. It is EG Daily. How are you? You're muted, by the way.
I know. I'm muting you in between so you don't hear the knocking going on upstairs. That was an awesome intro. That was amazing. Thank you.
I mean, it is overwhelming. Wow. It's overwhelming.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's really cool to hear that because sometimes I forget because, you know, I just keep doing art and then I forget. And then sometimes I get reminded or sometimes I go on YouTube and I read the comments that people on my videos and I'm just like, wow, that makes me feel really good. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, you'll be fascinated to find out that I spent a moment and watched your Saturday Night Live performance from way back in the day, which was something I didn't know they did this. Was this a thing that was happening for a while? Maybe, you know, there were two musical guests that night. It was you and I think Level 42.
Yeah. Level 42. Yeah.
Was that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, right. I don't know. Because when I did it, I think maybe because I was a solo thing and I came on and they had me do, I don't know why there were two that night. It was a special night with Marvin
Hamlisch
and John Lovitz, the liar. And did you notice I had to wear this little, they put me in a go-go box for my, you know, I had to be in a little go-go box. And they put me in a short mini and this little tube top. And that while I was doing my little gig, if you really pay attention, my tube top rose way up on that show. It was almost a little bit not okay, but it was okay.
I actually noticed, because I'm a pervert, when you went from that little go-go box around to the door to walk in, clearly seeing you pull it back down, it was a red thing. There's no doubt in my mind. Not only did I see it, I probably rewinded it at that point. That's because that's kind of garbage human and being.
I love that. I love your transparency. It's great.
It's still early in the episode, but so far, line of the episode is, I noticed, pause, because I'm a pervert. Unbeatable so far. So far, gold medal. Gold medal so far.
So you started out, I would say, as a primarily just the singer. You're coming back to that now, but let's go back then. You actually worked with Jelly Bean Benitez around the time he was also working with Madonna. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it was like Madonna's career had just kind of blown open, and that's when he was super hot, and I ran into him at a party, and, you know, I ran into him at a party, and my manager was like, oh, she's just starting her new record. You guys should work together. And it was just literally like at a party we met, and then I ended up dating him too. He was my boyfriend too.
Wow.
It was fun. Wow, that's what happens, though. That's the only way I meet my boyfriends. I work with them. But yeah, he was really sweet. And we did this. We ended up doing a few songs. Yeah, I did everyone. Anyway, never mind. And yeah, anyway, looking for new ones now, though. So it was really good. And we ended up cutting this track. We did a few tracks. We did them in New York. And it was a great team. And he's a great producer.
And the big hit that, as soon as I heard, I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking remember this song.
Say it.
If you want my love, say it, say it. I mean, I think we all were walking around the streets singing that ditty back then.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to watch you be interviewed by Dick Clark. I mean, that is a fucking legend right in front of you. And you got that these moments in your life, and we'll go through a lot of them. Do you look like you said, you don't often think about it, but those are, you are on SNL. You're interviewed by Dick Clark. Yeah, these are crazy moments. That's crazy.
Again, another one of those moments, I have to tell you, during especially that time period, where I was doing all kinds of stuff and I was just being whisked from place to place and traveling to Europe and touring and all kinds of stuff. That what happens is sometimes you're in the middle of it and you're like, oh, cool, that was so cool. And then you get done with it. And then like 4 months later, I go, I'm going to pretend I'm knocking
it. That's
right. 4 months later, I think to myself, wow, that was me. I was on Saturday Night Live. Like I literally, there were a lot of times things in my career that had happened. And while I was in the experience of it, I wasn't aware of how monumental it was. And then I'd look back. So I really try to practice now feeling the moment I'm in, because so many of those moments I didn't feel when I was in them. I felt them months and months later or a year later when I looked at them. Or like yourself, when you mention the things that I'm doing, then I think, wow, you know, that's right. I did those things. And then those are good moments for me, because sometimes you forget, because in between there's times where you're not working and there's times where you need a job. People are like not thinking, oh, you still always want to be doing art and you want opportunities. There's moments where you think, wow, there's nothing here. But then you see your stuff and you're like, I've killed it. I've done it. I've been doing it. You know what I mean?
Right, I hear you. And speaking of doing it, because you mentioned that you dated a lot of people in Hollywood, you dated Brad Pitt. Dated Brad Pitt in his fucking prime. You got like prime Brad Pitt.
Prime Brad Pitt.
Well, Brad was like my good friend. We were really, he was just really, I knew him when he first came here, and I spent a lot of really, he was just a really sweet, down to earth guy. And then he blew up, and I don't talk to him or see him anymore. But you know, I did run into him at a premiere, and he was very sweet and ran up to me. But yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time. But I think Brad was one of those really magical people that I got to have really sweet time with him as a human being. It was just
it's funny because on a brief side story, a friend of mine that comes up on the show a lot is a somewhat famous actress. Her name is Jennifer Esposito. And my brother was running a restaurant in New York City, and Brad Pitt came in like in that prime Brad Pitt is a god phase. And he calls her because she lives somewhat nearby and said, oh, my God, Brad Pitt just sat down to eat dinner. And I swear to God, like, as he hung up the phone, she already showed up at the restaurant running in to see him.
Brad Pitt's awesome. And he's just a sweet guy. Like, he's really just a down-to-earth kind of guy.
I look at your career in three major separations. There's obviously Singer, which we'll get into the Go-Go's tribute record and stuff like that. Then there's Actress, where you are, there's voiceover actress and actress, right? So the actress side, like our producer Shannon, who is a diehard lunatic when it comes to Friends, right?
Fanatic.
Do you guys want me to mute when I'm not talking so you don't hear?
Oh, it's fine. No, okay. I'm sure it drives Shannon crazy, but it's fine. It's not that bad.
I think it adds to it. I love this.
Okay, great. I love it. Okay.
We don't turn off the world. We do a podcast. The world keeps going, and we go with the shit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make fun of my gray on gray, we can leave your fucking sound in. It doesn't matter.
We're good. All right, so you're saying so.
I'm going to start vacuuming. Just, I want more noise, goddammit.
So when Shannon knew you were coming on, she's a big Friends. I would say, Shannon, is it fair to say you're a Friends super fan?
I guess so.
Yeah, and she was trying to say, where do I know her from also? And then it's like, oh, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Oh, Better Off Dead. Iconic movies that you were in throughout your life, which is also, you know, a great, and TV shows, obviously. But at some point, and this was a story I read somewhere, that you were going to play some, like in a wrestling show or something on stage.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And you had to play different age levels. And that's when you discovered, oh, I can do multiple voices and shit. Is that how that really came about?
I didn't discover it. Yeah, I got cast in a play that actually was on Broadway. And then it folded on Broadway very quickly. And it starred Deborah Harry, which is really cool trivia. And wow. So the company shipped the sets to LA. And this producer guy that knew me was like, oh, we're interested in you for this role of like this female wrestler. And you had to be petite and you had to be physically active and you have to sing. And I was like, I'll do it. And then I was like, but do I get to sing? Like my whole game was like, do I get to sing? And so I ended up having to learn how to be a female wrestler. I had to train with wrestlers and stuff. And yeah, in that particular show is I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm using my voice, but each round of the play, I was a different age. So I was aging my voice up and someone heard me and handed me their card. And when it opened up like Equity Theater at the Roxy Theater in Hollywood, he said, you're really good with your voice. To me, it was like, I was just a singer. So I knew how to manipulate my voice. I know how to, my favorite thing was imitating sounds. Like I like to like, just, I hear sounds and I imitate them. Like,
Can you do your knocking noise in the background?
Yeah,
can you imitate that? Oh, it would have been great if you nailed it.
But like things like, you know, things like, you know, things like water, like when you pour water into glass.
That's pretty good. I like
that was a pretty good anyway, water impression.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't think I've ever said that sentence before either. So this is a first at this new day in my life.
I just like, you know, I just always had a fascination for imitating sounds and doing creating sounds and listening, like especially kids' voices. I loved how little kids would be like, oh, well, you know, my mom would love if you would come here. You know how little kids just have their own little weird rhythms and breathing. Right. And so I was always fascinated, but I didn't think anything of it. I just did it. It was one of those things I just did naturally because it was fun for me. And because I sing, I know how to create sounds. And then I did all these voices in the play where I aged up and this guy handed me his card and was like, you're really good with your voice. You should do this. And then I went on my first audition with him. And that was for a little boy. And I was like in a rush that day, but I did it. And then he called and said, you booked it. And I was like, great. What is it? And it was Tommy Pickles on Rugrats. That was my first audition.
Your first. And you got your first one. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you played Tommy Pickles forever and they're reuniting now, right?
Yeah. They rebooted. Reuniting. That's
reuniting.
Like,
so the reunited. Cast is reuniting.
Reunited, so good. And it feels so good. Yeah. Yeah. So now we're doing the reboot. This is like 14 years later. So of course they had to re-audition everybody to make sure nobody went crazy or sounded way, you know, like, hey, everybody, we're, you know,
yeah,
Tommy Pickles.
All of a sudden Tommy Pickles has a smoking issue.
Wow. Re-audition to see if someone's crazy. So you do the voice, but also give you what, like a Warshak test? What do they do?
You know what? That's just my thought. They made us all re-audition because it had been like 12, 14 years since we did Rugrats. It was a lot of years. So I think they just wanted to make sure everybody could still have their quality of voice. Sometimes people change. Little boys come back for jobs and then they can't do it anymore because they're like this. So they just wanted to make sure you could capture your voice hadn't, you know, some people like start smoking, drink, you know, some glues, or, you know, whatever.
Did anybody not get it or did the whole team get it?
No, all the main lead babies, we all came back. All those girls are unbelievable. They're all women. And it's like Nancy Cartwright, who does Bart Simpson. She's amazing. And Kat Soucie, who does Phil Lil and Cree Summer. It's just all the main babies and all these women are just super talented. They're all working still all the time. And so Cheryl Chase, who does Angelica, everybody was great. So we all got back. But yeah, you had to audition. I had to do it a couple times, actually.
Wow.
For all the network. Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking.
Well, that leads me to the question. So that you obviously have three separate careers in your life, right? So which one do you look at as, oh, this is just my bread and butter, and this is my passion, or are they all passions, or like, how do you address the three significantly different careers?
I honestly think like singing was the thing that I could do starting really, really young, that I felt like nobody could tell me when or if I could do it. It was like, I could sing in my room, I could sing, and it felt very cathartic, and it feels like super healing. Like singing feels very healing to me. And so that was a place where I feel like I could tap in. Whereas acting, it was a little more like, I felt a little awkward with it at first because I had to be on and I had to be like, hi, my name is, you know, whatever. And I'm with whatever agency, and just all of it felt a little bit contrived to me or fake. And I didn't feel comfortable with that, and I was a little shy. So singing for me felt easier. So singing, I would say, is really like cathartic and really taps into my soul. But you know, acting is fun. Like when I get to do a Rob Zombie movie and play Candy or Sex Head.
Yeah, it's great.
And
so
they're just
cool.
Crazy characters. I get to forget who I am and just get lost in this. It's something you only get to fantasize about playing. So I really love things about each one. And cartoon voices is like, now I get to be anything and I'm not limited by my body or the box. You know, I can be a boy, I can be a girl, I can be a lady, I can be an old lady if I choose to, you know, like whatever I want, I can just, you know, do it. And that's
water, yo. You could be water. That,
you could be
no
water.
Limits.
That's according to
but the voice, there's no limit.
All right, before we go any further, holy crap, am I excited about this sponsor, brand new sponsor. It is called Chicken Skin Snacks. It's a very Jewishy thing, by the way. I grew up on this stuff. It's called like Gribbins or something. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but boy, that's like a delicacy at the old Sutton household. Chicken skin is an excellent way to satisfy your crunch craving snack, and it's a perfect alternative to carb-heavy snacks such as chips and popcorn with zero carbs per serving. Chicken skin is 100% organic chicken skin, sourced fresh and gluten-free. And chicken skin comes in 8 amazing flavors: original, salt and vinegar, buffalo wing, chili lime, salt and pepper, Jamaican jerk, and hot cheese. I mean, I'll be honest, haven't tried it yet, but I'm super excited to get it because it's a very Jewy thing, as I said. So I'm super excited to have it. You can enjoy chicken skin as a snack on its own, a salad topper, or even as nachos if you really want to pig out or chicken out, as the kids might say. Please go to chickenskin.com. That's chickenskin.com. Use the promo code SDR20 for 20% off your order. That is SDR20. For 20% your offer of Chicken Skin, that low-carb alternative to crunchy snacks. All right, let's get back into it right now.
Yeah. So that leads me to a couple of questions. So with the singing, because you can do so many voices, is it hard to figure out how you want to sing a song? Because you can do so many things with your voice. You don't have one voice. You're not like most. So when you're singing a song, do you try and figure out which way it's going to work best?
That's a really good question. I mean, my singing voice kind of just has been, remember, I was singing my whole life. So my singing voice just kind of got developed because I started noticing what I could do with my voice. And I noticed that I definitely had like a raspy element, but I could also sing pretty and clear. So I think my voice was sort of developed over the years when I was like 15, 16. And I was really all big about like, you know, warming up and learning from the best teachers how to sing and how to use my voice. And then I would leave some of what they told me because I didn't want to sound like everybody that was so technically trained.
Right.
But I think I just learned, I developed my sound and my voice, and I can sing like a lot of people. I can sing like other people.
Right.
But I think my voice and my style is my own thing, but it came from like, comes
well,
from
that's
anything,
why, like,
everything.
With this Go-Go's tribute album that's coming out, you do We Got the Beat. Are you consciously trying not to emulate Belinda Carlisle because that's your nature? Or do you do that because it's a tribute? Like, how did you approach that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I kind of rearranged it. I did it with my friend Lee Miles. He produced the track with me, and we did it. I didn't do it. I changed it up a bit, and I did it with my voice. So it's got E.G. Daily vibe on it, which is really
okay,
cool.
Okay, that's cool. So now this is I think an obvious question, and James, feel free to shit on me for this question. But so, I mean, some of your most iconic VOs, obviously, is Tommy Pickles, Buttercup from Powerpuff Girls, and Babe from Pig in the City. You also do some superheroes, which is great. I think you did Mockingbird on Avengers, right? A few others.
Yeah.
So my question is, I mean, you said you're single right now, but you also said you've dated a lot of men in your life. Has it ever happened where one of the guys in your life says, I really want to know what it feels like to have sex with Buttercup. Can you do the voice? Or has that never happened?
There are definitely some of those perverts out there that want to talk to Tommy. Well, yeah, no, they're, yeah, they're, he's like, what?
This is awesome. This makes me so happy. It makes me so happy.
Someone took it up a goddamn notch, didn't they, huh, Ralph?
You know, that's crazy. I mean, there are some people that are a little kinky and, you know, I can be playful. It's all good, you know.
I think that, I mean, I think that if they said they want to talk to Babe, that one might bother me. That's the one that I'd say.
La, that feels
more right. Than Buttercup.
Well, Buttercup, Powerpuff Girls, at least Buttercup was like a badass.
Buttercup's spicy. She'd be like, sit over here. Do this, do that. I'm trying to be a little PC. Yeah.
This is crazy because Richard Pryor talked about how women he'd go home with would say, I really like when you do the children's voice, and he would keep doing it and they would take clothing off. And he said, she gave birth to me at 3 a.m. That was the big punchline on that one. Yeah. Classic. Yeah. It's really weird. So you're good with it? Because another thing, as you tell me, and we're discussing that, I thought of an interview I read with Madonna and Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher said she never wanted anyone to be able to brag that they fucked Princess Leia. Do you ever like take that? We're like, nah, I don't want this dude to be like, I was hooking up with Buttercup. Babe, for you, Ralph.
That's a really interesting thing. That's
isn't that
like
wild?
That's a thing about control, like wanting to control. I get that though, because I had a thing where I would date people, like a lot of people, and my game was not to, you know, to just be with them, but not to actually have sex with them. That was my game. My game was like, I didn't want to. Yeah, maybe it is kind of along the same lines. I mean, of course, I was with I had a lot of boyfriends, and I had a lot of, you know, flings and stuff, because that's what we did back then. You weren't afraid of everything.
Right.
You weren't afraid of COVID. You weren't afraid of all the things that there were that later came in. So we were a little bit freer. But I think that's why in a lot of cases, sometimes for me, it was like I wanted to snuggle with people or have great makeout sessions or have a hot little kind of sort of smoochy time with them. But to me, it was like if I had sex with them, then it was like, yeah, I gave him a little bit too much of me. So there were guys I wanted to do that with and guys I didn't.
I just love the idea of like right before you have sex with someone, you say, well, a baby's got to do. It's right. Got to ruin the moment. I would imagine. So horrible. So now talk to me about how this Go-Go tribute album came about, how you got involved, how this all, you know, went down.
There's a guy, I'm so terrible. There's this guy named Travis, and he works with Tiffany or no, not Tiffany, but he's just done it. He does a lot of he works with Josie Cotton that was in the Valley Girl movie. And he just reached out to me and said, they're doing this tribute album and they're asking a lot of artists, different artists. And I think Josie's there's a lot of different artists, and I can't even tell you who those are right now, but different artists that were all asked to do different songs. Of course I picked We Got the Beat because that's such a classic Go-Go song. I was like, that's the one I want to do. Is it taken yet? And luckily nobody took it.
I can't believe that. You think that would have went first? It's amazing that didn't go first.
I know. And you know, Go-Go's have some really great songs. So they just asked me if I wanted to do a song. I was like, yeah, I'll do that one. And then, you know, I got to track it with my buddy. So I got to make it the way I wanted it and make it mine. You know what I mean? Not do like imitation. But the really cool trivia part is, you know, the movie Better Off Dead that I was in?
Yes, of course.
The cool thing is then Travis and the team of people that are working on the hard copy disc for this, they wanted me to do a B-side record. And Travis came up with the great idea of doing that Better Off Dead song that I did in that movie Better Off Dead, because a lot of fans were like, how can I get that song? I really want that song, you know, Better Off Dead. It's a great song and it's not out there anywhere. And so we recut that song for the B-side, which is really cool.
Wow,
so
that's really cool.
I retracked that song and that will be on the B-side of my actual hard copy single. It'll be on digital as well, but there is a fun little video that I did while I was in the studio for that too. But
and
not
is it, what's the release date on it all?
There's still, because of COVID, everything kind of got pushed back a little. So it could be in the next month or two. Mm-hmm. They're just doing artwork and stuff. So it's in post-production. So it will be pretty soon.
By the way, it feels awkward to be talking to you right now without all this banging in the background. I don't even know what's going on.
I don't even know who I am. I'm like, what? What's missing? It was my head.
I don't know what's happening. So now, sorry, I'm bouncing all around, but I do, you know, we only have
a little four. I'll roll with you.
So the voices that you do, right, when you're going into audition for, say, Buttercup or whoever the case may be, do you get to pitch different takes? Like, I think maybe she'll sound like this, or maybe she'll sound like this, or do you come up with a voice and that's the one you stick with, and either you get the audition or you don't?
Well, sometimes, like, they'll show you a picture, and then you're like, or a claymation or some reference to the character. Usually the very first voice that I come up with, when I look at, because I do this all the time, and I always tell us, it's kind of a known thing, but when I even talk to people or I'm in a conference with people, I'm always looking around the room thinking, before I hear them talk, like, I bet she sounds like this, and I bet he's because I can tell by the way the face is, by the way the mouth is.
Did you think I would sound like the monster that I sound like?
Totally. I would have, if you would have given me, that's the game. If you give me a voice and a face, and you give me like 10 voices and 10 faces, I'm really good about finding the voice that would match the face.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
cool. It's really fun because I'm fascinated with all that. Like, I'm fascinated with how teeth are and mouths and lips cross and cheeks and all that stuff affects how the voice sounds. Sometimes people have like a lot over here, so they're going to sound a little bit more like there's a little bit more neck attached to their voice, you know, or if somebody's a little chunkier, they might sort of sound a little huskier like in this role. You know what I mean? So, or if somebody's really smart and they have like thin lips, I might sort of put them in here where I'm talking like they're very smart and their lips are tight. And so I might put their mouth and their sound right about here.
It's really fascinating. It is. Do you do accents as well easily? Like, is that how your auditory mind, you could pick up the accents?
Yeah, pretty much. But really, I think my specialty is children's voices. Like,
By the way, as long as you said voices, that sentence is good. If you said my specialty is children, that would be a problem.
That's terrible. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's not a joking matter. Anyway, so I think I really do. It's really fun for me. Like, I really have, I like making voices for, like, inanimate objects, too, like sometimes.
Wow. But so most of the voices that you're iconically known for now, let's say those big three for starters, were those the initial voices you pitched, or did you tweak it after, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. With Tommy Pickles, let's say that was my first one. I had never been on a voice audition. So they showed the claymation. He had a big round head and he had big kind of floppy lips, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of thinking he definitely would sound a little something like this, and there'd be a little sloppiness going on here, and you would see like Chucky, the dinosaur is coming, you know. So I just thought everything looked floppy and weird. And the weird thing was, is I kind of would do that voice when I was really young. I was doing children's voices, but I just added a little more mouthy floppiness to that. And then they maybe said, can you make them sound even younger? So if I was, let's say, doing, oh, that's really cool. And they say, can you do them a little younger? I'd be like, oh, well, that's really cool. You know, I just make him even more baby, more broken, more a little like him. He has to think through things. So I just maybe played with that a little bit with them. But usually the first voice that I audition for, like, I usually go by my instincts, and my instincts are usually good. They might just say, can you make him a little bit older? Or can you make him a little snootier? Or you might say he's the bully, so can you make him a little tougher? So I might be like, yeah, well, he's talking like this and he's a kid and he's a little bully. And then they say, can you make him even tougher and even bigger? Yeah. So then I start saying, you better fess up, dude, you're in big trouble, as I spit all over myself.
Yeah, it's funny that you described Tommy Pickles as floppy and weird, and that's how most women describe me naked.
So that's great. I love that.
Baby, you're on fire right now. Yes. If this was NBA Jam, you're on fire. You're just shooting from midcourt and going in, baby.
All right, before we go any further, a brand new sponsor. It's quite simple. Stop using fucking bad soap. Your skin hates you for it. Get some fucking good soap instead. Where? Fuckinggoodsoap.com, of course. Fucking good soap. So fun to say. Was started in 2018 in Portland, Oregon, with one purpose in mind: make the best bar of soap in the universe and give everyone the middle finger while doing it. So it's not just a name, it's a promise. Handcrafted in a small batch process, most fucking good soap bars contain only 7 natural and organic ingredients and start at just $7 each. Choose from 15 incredible scents, including spearmint, peppermint, ginger and lime, cucumber melon, and the insanely popular Man Bar with its perfect combination of mahogany and musk. Be careful with this one. It is a panty soaker, as the copy says, and that may have been the more appropriate name for it. The panty soaker. Support a small business and smell fucking good and feel fucking good while doing it. Go to fuckinggoodsoap.com, fuckinggoodsoap.com, and use the promo code SDR for 10% off your entire order. That's fuckinggoodsoap.com for dirty mouths and clean bodies. All right, let's get back into it.
The last thing I found out about you, which I want to ask, because it's fascinating to me, is that you did the, which I mentioned at the top of the show, your the kid's voice in the intro to Two and a Half Men.
Men. Yeah,
that's wild. And then, but they, I think that they had to replace you at one point because he got too, he aged out of it, right?
Yeah. So I'm really mad at Ashton Kutcher for joining us. So, because it's all good because I was on so many years and so many episodes. I did that one job, and that was like a Chuck Lorre thing. And he called and said, "Can you audition for this thing? I need a boy." And I was kind of known as the specialty for boys and boy voices and redubbing voices. Like I did Froggy in the Little Rascal live action. They cast him, and then they had me come in and redub his voice because he couldn't quite get the "What's the high side, Petey?" like that sound, right? So, so Chuck Lorre called and said, "Can you audition for this boy? I would give it to you, but we can't because we're auditioning boys on Broadway that can sing, and we need someone who sounds like the kid." And so Jake on that show, you know, Two and a Half Men, he sort of sounds like this. He talks really slow, and he says, "You know, Dad, you know what I mean." He talks like that, and he's a little husky. Mm. So I was like, "Men, manly men." Woo-hoo. I sort of tried to add some of his quality, and then I booked it. That job just kept, you know, paying. Like it was the gift that keeps on giving.
So did that pay every time that the show, a new episode was on?
The brand new ones with Ashton, no more.
Well, no, obviously those were
out. Single time. I mean, I would get a check, and I'd be like, "Oh, $2,200. That's nice." And then I'd be like, $22,000. I'd be like, it was so crazy that they were like, "Oh, $3,100. That's nice. $31,000. Like I would just like trip out on like it because it's in syndication and it's a theme song. So it's it's a big deal. That was a great
job. Pretty wild. I think whenever I saw that, I knew there was no way that kid was singing that, but I never dreamed it would be a woman singing that. I never had any idea. It's pretty wild.
There's also that movie, Lorenzo's Oil, that was Academy Award winning with Susan Sarandon and Nick Nolte. And there was a lead kid in that movie that had an illness where the myelin in his brain was deteriorating and he started losing his speech. So they brought me in for this big feature to redo all his voice. So that's where I sort of started getting this reputation for being the specialty secret weapon for boys.
That's really wild. Isn't James, aren't you also known as the specialty secret weapon for boys? Or not?
I knew you. Weapon. I was like, as it was coming out of my mouth, I knew you were going to run with that. I knew it.
How could
she says you're getting predictable, Ralph. She says you're slowing down in your old age. You were so much better.
That was great.
Minutes ago.
What was your next question?
Then the thing that's amazing to me is looking back at the beginning of your career. I don't know how old you were going to be. I mean, is it true that you were in Laverne and Shirley and Chips? Is that right?
Freaking vampire, you guys.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I was in Laverne and Shirley. I was maybe like 15 and I was the lead singer. The leader of the Angora Debs. So I played this really, you know, this tough little like, you know, from New York-y kind of. Yeah, it was my first really big gig. And it was a big show because Laverne and Shirley was like a happy day thing. And I remember walking into where is it? Paramount Studios. And I was just like, wow, this is like real. So yeah, I booked that and I did.
Are you in a scene with Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams?
Yeah, I was
in
a scene with guest star. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Wow, that's so fucking cool. Jesus
Christ.
I was
a kid. I was a baby. Yeah.
And then also in my research on you, which obviously James does none of that and I do a lot.
This hurts. That really hurts.
Right that you come from a family of artists? Like everyone in your family works in entertainment in one way, shape or form.
Well, they don't work in entertainment. Like my brother Sam did a lot of stand-up. Sam Gutman, he went around and did a lot of stand-up and he actually would do stand-up with people like Ellen and stuff back in the day. But he was a comedian, but he also plays like bluegrass guitar. So he always incorporated that into his gig. So my brother Sam did live, but he never did it like anything on TV or anything. All my family members are all incredibly artistic. Like everyone can play a lot of instruments and everyone can kind of sing. My sister is the only one. She's the oldest of five, and she's an incredible painter. Ren River is her name, R-E-I-N-E River. And she's like a master painter, and she does like kick-ass paintings, and she sells them all over. But so we're all artists, but musically, the four of us are artists. But I was the one that sort of did everything. I did everything. I ran with everything you could run after. Yeah.
That's really wild. And I mentioned this a minute because I'm a big Marvel fan. You were Mockingbird in the Avengers show.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that they work in that? Because I know I've heard the story. I don't know if you can even say anything, but you probably couldn't. But there's rumors that in the new, this is how geeky and nerdy I am, James, by the way, in the new Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, they're introducing a universe that is animated and may bring in the X-Men animated into the show.
My goodness.
Is there any chance that you may work your way into that, or is that nothing? Am I telling you something you were even unaware of?
I'm not even aware of that. Ace, write that down. Ace is my assistant. Yeah, I'm not even aware of that. So thanks for giving me that tip. Who knows? Yeah, who knows, right? Cool.
Yeah, look at me, James. I do a lot of research, James.
Yeah, you just become an agent. That's what you became.
So then a couple of the last minute tidbits, and then we'll wrap up with the last question. But one of the first thing I saw from you, which was fascinating, which I guess I'd love to know how this came about. Now it's, I guess, about 8 years ago, you were on The Voice.
Yeah.
And how did you decide to go to that path? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I was just, I was actually hosting I haven't been singing in a while. I don't know what happened. I went through like a little a crisis of like, oh, this is dumb. Maybe I'm getting tired and I'm tired of the hustle. And, you know, am I getting too old for this? And I started buying into some of that. And I started feeling a little not my usual happy, thriving self. And then this woman friend of mine, I don't know, just something happened. I had this transformation thing that happens, like spiritual awakening. And I decided at that moment, like the reason why I wasn't feeling as happy and just happy as I was is because I stopped doing what I love to be doing. It's like, you should be doing it till you can no longer do, like you're crawling on the floor. You should do what you love to do. So I just started singing again. And this woman had asked, and I decided to say yes to everything music. Like if somebody asked me to do it, I'd be like, yes. Somebody asked me to sing for them in the toilet while they were sitting on the toilet. I'd be like, yes. I was like,
I got to have a question for you right after the show on that topic. Continue.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I just started singing again.
Boy, that was a setup for him, huh?
Yeah,
I told you I was garbage at the top of the show.
I noticed because the fairness, I'm a pervert. Unbelievable. You have lived up to it the whole time. You're the scorpion on the frog the whole time.
Thank you, James.
Love it. So then I start saying yes to all music. This woman said, would you sing a song on my show, Balcony TV Lights, just me on guitar? And I was like, no, I usually play with a band. She's like, just you on guitar, just you one. And I was like, I have to say yes, because that was my commitment to myself. Say yes to everything I loved. And I did it. And then she was like, would you want to host the show and talk to other artists? So there were all these touring artists coming in from Sweden and Norway and Denmark and, you know, Germany. And they would come in and then they would come to the balcony. We would do it on a balcony and I would interview them. I got to interview Lifehouse, which is one of my favorite bands.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually cut one of their songs and we sang it together a little bit.
That The Calling? Am I right? Is that right off the top of my head? Is that them?
Lifehouse?
Yeah. Didn't that single The Calling from them? I could be wrong.
I think so. Yeah, I think all so. Right, I think but anyway, so I started hosting a show and then that same woman said, I hope you don't get mad at me, but I actually got you an audition for The Voice. And I was like, what? No, I'm not doing that. I just didn't think it was like, I thought my kids were gonna be like, mom, that's so like, you know, my daughters are, I thought they were gonna be like, that's mortifying. You can't do that at this point. It's embarrassing. But I was kind of like, I have to say yes. It came to me, I have to say yes. So I called in my friend Lee Miles, who produced the Beat We Got the Beat track. And we worked up some songs and I got on and auditioned and it was fun. And then I got a call back. And it's a tough process. You go through like hundreds of thousands of people all over the world auditioning. And then you whittle down to like the final people. And I made it on Team Blake. And it was a pretty awesome reminder that if I just keep doing what I love, then everything comes. Like things come to you that you could never expect. And that was a really big opportunity of like, at this point, and my daughters were grown and to show myself that it's like, I never want to stop doing what I love to do. Like it was an amazing reminder that magic happens when you, what is that? My favorite saying is like, miracles don't happen in the comfort zone. So like push yourself past where I think like, I'm too old for that or it's stupid. It's like miracles happen when you get awkward and uncomfortable and push yourself. And then all of a sudden you open up to something brand new. So That to me is like my favorite moment.
So did you find that season of The Voice renewed your interest more than ever in singing? That was what the big catalyst from that?
Yeah, it did. Because you're like, it's kind of like being in music camp. Only you're there with 15-year-olds. There were kids that I felt like I could mother. They were like my daughters, these beautiful, young, talented people. And then there were people older than me and young. So it was like you were in music camp and everybody just was being a musician singing. And they were really honoring you because they would whisk you to a voice lesson. Then they would whisk you to a rehearsal. And then they would whisk you to a fitting. And you just felt like everyone was surrounding you with so much love about who you were as an artist. And to me, that was like unreal. That's how Nashville is. Like when I first went to Nashville to write music, you go into an appointment, you have appointments to write music. You walk into a room, it's set up like a beautiful little cozy living room and there's guitars everywhere. And you start writing a song and everybody's treated with such respect. And to me, I feel like some of that's missing in places where the artist is like struggling, dejected, you know, whereas artists, it's like, should be honored because art changes people's lives. Like music makes people feel, it makes people cry, it makes people happy. So to me, artists have to be respected. So that's where I'm at. Like, yeah.
And it's also what I like about The Voice is that it's a music show. I don't watch a lot of reality television, but from what I know, it's the one that really focuses on the singing more than anything else, where I felt like when American Idol first started, or forgot the other one, that Americans Got Talent, whatever, they're more shticky, where The Voice seems to really care about The Voice, of caring about your musicality more than any of the other shows.
No, it's a great show. And they were beautiful. They were beautiful how they, you know, the worst part about The Voice is when you get knocked off, because you literally like you go from being like cherished and nurtured because they really want you to do well. And you're like nurtured. I know you're thinking of something perverted to say, so I'm just doing it.
I'm gonna go against your expected and not say anything on that. So there you go.
Okay, wow.
You're gonna plead the fifth?
Yeah, I don't like that she said I became predictable, so I'm changing my pacing.
Anyway, so you go from being like cherished and nurtured to like you get knocked off, and then they literally be like, you don't get to say goodbye to anyone, you just get grabbed, thrown in a golf car, driven to the doctor. The doctor, they have a doctor, psychiatrist that wants to make sure you're not going to like.
Wow, really? To make sure you hurt yourself. Wow, that makes sense.
Yeah, they want to make sure you're okay. Are you okay? Just got knocked off a huge show. And you're like, I'm okay. I'm a little sad. I got knocked off. I wanted to go on further. But they just want to make sure you're good. They're very kind to you. They treat you with careness. But then you're done. You don't get to go back. You don't just see all your friends you were with. So that's the hard. That was.
So let me ask you on that. Do they put you in a hotel when you're there? Are you part of like
you are sequestered. I think that's public knowledge.
Right.
You
are so sequestered. Are you immediately said, get your shit and go home? Or do you have 24 hours or you're out?
You're out that night.
Wow. That's pretty
painful.
Wild.
That's the painful part, but that's, you know.
Wow.
That's builds your calluses. Can I say?
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, that was hard. Yeah. What are you thinking?
A psychiatrist. This is amazing. Is it the same psychiatrist that you brought in for Rugrats to make sure people didn't become crazy? Because that would be wonderful.
They didn't do that. They just want to make sure your voice is intact. But yeah.
So my last two topics, and then we'll ask the first. Number one.
Yeah, what is there else?
All right, before we go any further, one of our newer sponsors, it is called MePod, MIPOD.com. If you are a longtime smoker and you're looking for a way to transition over to vaping, you may be a lot happier if you start looking into MePod, MIPOD.com. Supposedly, the science says it's better for you, and it's a good way to start leaning towards quitting smoking. But if you are not a smoker, this commercial is obviously not for you. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Having said that, they have the Vaporlax vape, which is an adjustable airflow so you can control the hit. The MePod 2.0, which is their state-of-the-art refillable device with long-lasting battery and a design to optimize flavors. Vaporlax Salt, which is available in 2.5 and 5% strengths. And Sirius Vape, which is a long-lasting disposable ready to go right out of the box with 15 available flavors. So if you're smoking, this is way better for you. And if you like flavors, they got a bunch of them as well. So it's time to try MePod, MIPOD.com. Use the promo code SDR and you get 20% off. And like always, you're supporting the sponsors that support the show. MePod.com, promo code SDR, and get 20% off. Why the fuck not? All right, let's get back into it.
I know that you are, it kind of goes nice with children. You're big on animal activism. You had a doggy with you at the top of the show. Do you work with any specific charities, or is it just something that you try to do across the board?
Yes, I'm thankful and grateful for all. There's so many rescuers out there, big and small, but I am a big, I've been working and have been hands-on with, there's two. One is Last Chance for Animals, which is one of the giant ones that is run by Chris DeRose, who this man has been shot trying to, sorry, I made a little noise, shot trying to save animals from scientists.
Wow.
Labs. Wow. He's been all globally at Last Chance for Animals. If you want to donate even a dollar, everyone on here donate to Last Chance for Animals. I usually have the links on my websites, but anything helps because they do the most amazing, they stop the most horrible animal abuse and torture and exploitation. So Last Chance for Animals is a big global one. And I do everything for, I protest. I'm in the front lines of all kinds of like soy dog protests. I go to Korean consulates, I protest. We do everything. And then the smaller, more hands-on one is called Toby Small Dog Rescue, T-O-B-I-E-S. And they're beautiful because they're just like, I will foster for them dogs that have been abused. Like there was one little dog was thrown out a moving car window.
Oh my God.
They thought it was the guy behind him stopped. And was like, oh my God, they just threw a dog out a window. And it was a tiny dog and it had head trauma. So I take those dogs sometimes and nurse them back out. Yeah, it's pretty brutal, but people do sick things. And so we want to stop that. So I'm into like making that stop because that's like, people like that need to get help because that's mental. And so Toby Small Dog Rescue does small, and they actually rescue dogs straight out of like kill shelters. They'll rescue mommies, like pregnant dogs that people just street dogs or throw them away, or dogs that are old that their owners like don't want them anymore because they want to get a new dog. So they take their sweet little dog who sits in a cold shelter, like, where's my family?
And oh, it's so my sad. God, it's horrible. It's so it's horrible.
And then they bring the mommies home and they rescue the dogs and they let the mothers have babies and these beautiful cozy places, and then they give placement homes to all these people. So go to Toby Small Dog Rescue or Last Chance for Animals. They're great. Did you want me to do a song today? Was I supposed to sing?
Yes, we're gonna have that on my list as it was gonna be the last thing until I ask this one more question, which is this is gonna lead into that nicely. You did something, and I'm not sure if it's weird because there was mentions of it from several years ago to just a year ago. You did some sort of musical autobiography show. Am I right with that? Am I naming that wrong?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. No, on egdaily.com, my website, or on Amazon, actually. I did two things. One is a voiceover seminar. So people are interested in voiceover. I filmed in front of a live audience, a voiceover seminar to teach the tips, tools, the how-tos. It's really practical. I guest people. It's a really good tool if you guys are interested in voiceover. And you can just download it. It's on Amazon. And then I did do a one-woman autobiographical musical that is everything and it's true. It's very transparent. I'll try to get you guys links to it. It's pretty crazy. And everything's true. Like most people are like, this did not happen, but it's all true. It's all going to be in this documentary that I'm working on. Oh, I'm working on a documentary. And it's called Listen Closely because in Listen Closely, it's a one hour, 15 minute, one woman show. And I basically talk to myself and like all these different characters. I change my voice, but a lot of it is about me talking to my inner child, my little each, which is like my big each will be like, we have to be nice to that guy because he might give us a break. Whereas my little each will be like, but I like him, but I don't feel comfortable with him. You know, my biggie just like, shh, be nice. You know, it's all about that people pleasing. And at the end, there's a lot of really powerful messages, but I sing throughout the whole thing and it's all mostly original music. So it's really powerful. It's called Listen Closely and it's on Amazon. So you can check
it out.
That's
wild. And I just realized that the nickname people call you is Ege. Is that right? Is that what you just said there?
Yeah, people call me Ege.
See how I piece that together? Okay. So you're
going to do a cookie, dog.
Before we do the first, you're going to do a song for us. What song are you doing for us? And Shannon, should we just mute our mics? Are you going to handle it? How should we do this, Shannon?
Yes.
I'm so sad that I can't see you because you're so cute. And you're just hiding.
You'll see her at the end of the show. We give her about a 30-second window where she can talk.
Okay. All right. Well,
so what song are you doing?
Ace, I'm going to bring it. Come here, Ace. She's going to help set up. I want you to meet my assistant because she's dope. She's my bestie. She's my daughter. Daughter. I've adopted her. And my assistant, and she does everything for me. So her name's Ace, and she's dope. I love her. So
look related, but we're not related.
Yeah. And we just have a great time. So I can probably do like a really old song it's up on, everybody should go to my Spotify. Yeah, I have like 30,000 listeners a month. That's pretty cool.
What is she doing with the microphone? I've never heard so much noise in my life. Okay, there we go. That's better.
She's moving it because we found
the guys upstairs.
That when I played the guitar, it fed back really bad. So
okay.
We didn't want it to get
crazy. It sounds like she was just banging it on the table for a few seconds, but
she was upstairs warming up.
All right, so Shannon, I'm gonna kill. What's the name of the song you're about to do?
This one's called Pretty Baby. It's one of my favorite old songs, and I did it a lot in the day, but thought I'd do an old one because it's fun.
Okay,
and
so
it's you can get it. This is probably two on my Spotify.
Shannon, I'm gonna mute myself, and so is let me do that right now. Okay, and mute.
I got it. Thanks, Ace. You're the best. It's called Pretty Baby. Oh, just for a record, this is that song that I wrote about when you're in a relationship. It's not mutual. So like you like them way more than they like you, which is a bummer. So then one day you're like, I can't take this anymore. I know you don't like me, like I love you. Just go. And so then they leave, right? They leave. And then they come back because they can't find anyone better. And then you just go for more torture. So that's what this song's about.
Great. Phenomenal. Wow, so nice.
Phenomenal.
By the way, if you would have timed it better, you could have used the knocking in the ceiling. Could have been the ending knocking on the guitar if you would have timed it right. That would have been perfect.
Well, you know, that knocking means they're marching. You're asking them to leave. Walking.
That's pretty cool.
Ace
that's
is doing
great.
A happy dance. Get back there and do the happy dance. She's so cute. She's so cute because you don't know what she's doing. She's doing this happy
dance. Wow.
That's such a goofball. I love her.
I think I figured where the pounding noises came before. She's dancing around the apartment.
She's so cute. Okay.
All right, so Shannon, we got to hit the first right now.
The first time.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest since the dawn of time about their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we ask you about the first concert you ever went to, but ideally one we're going to know, not some local band we never heard of. So the first concert you went to.
Like a really big concert?
Yeah, that ideally you went on your own volition, not one that someone dragged you to when you were eight. The one that you think of as your first real concert.
God, it's so hard to say. Maybe Rod Stewart?
Wow. Well, that's a great one. That's wild.
Yeah. Were you
already a big music fan?
I love Rod Stewart. And I love her. And then later on, he ended up having me in his Young Turks video. I was actually, Patty gave birth to a 10-pound baby boy in that Young High Speed Free Tonight video. That was actually me in that video. I was only like 18 with brown hair and it was big and wild. Yeah.
That's so cool. That's
later
a great.
On, yeah, I ended up being in a video. I love Rod Stewart.
Wow, that not a lot of people can say that their first concert, they ended up being in one of their most popular videos. That's fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, and I had a lot, my siblings are older, so I got exposed to a lot of other cool music, like James Taylor, and, you know, I love Kenny Loggins, and, you know, all these people, yeah.
That's pretty wild. And now, the first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot's the worst drug you ever did or not the first drug you ever did?
Honestly, I've never been a druggie, but I will tell you, in pot, I smoked a little, and that's fine. I don't do it. When I was 17, and I hate to do this because I don't want to be an influencer in that way, but somebody had me try a little tiny bump of cocaine, and I thought it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever had in my body or near my skin. Because it literally tasted like burning plastic. And I've never done drugs anyway. It was my thing, but that was the only time I ever tried it and the last time, and never any drugs since.
All right. I like that answer. Good answer. Now, the first time you had intercourse. I believe that's what the kids call it, James.
I mean, okay, after everything you've done in this episode, you're going to go and clean it up with intercourse now? Now you're putting on the tuxedo after walking around dressed like a gas attendant?
Intercourse.
Here's that story. I was in love with this guy named Renee, in love with him. And he didn't really love me as much as I loved him. And I didn't want to be a virgin because I knew I was going to sleep with him at some point. So I found this really great, amazing guy. He was really tall. He was probably like 6'2" or 6'4", I'm only 5 feet. And he was Stuart, his name was Stuart, and he was really sweet. He's kind of like a model. And I thought, I'm going to sleep with him so I'll be ready for the other guy. That's how freaking contorted I was. So all I remember was thinking, went to this party, went back to his house and seeing his bed. He walked out naked, and I was like, what did I get myself into? And then I remember thinking, I have to do this for the rest of my life because it was so scary and weird and awkward. And then later I learned to really like it.
Did you explain to Stuart, hey, you're going to be my test dummy for this dude I really like?
No, I actually owed him an amends. I actually wrote, when I did amends, so I always had to keep myself clean. I haven't been able to find him, but I actually wrote out amends, and I didn't tell him that I didn't, you know, that I didn't tell him I was a virgin, but I'm sure he figured it out by my, like, 6'4" guy. I was like, what the hell is happening? So I didn't. Can you visualize it? Now you guys feeling that? You're laughing, Ralph.
You had a warm-up. For sex.
I just love it. I love the idea.
You had a dress rehearsal for losing your virginity. It's the proudest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Was your plan then when you went back to Nick to act like you just knew what you're such, this is just regular for you, like you knew what you were doing?
I actually never ended up sleeping with him.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, never my plan. God, you know what? God laughs when you make plans. But yeah, I never really, like, honestly, it just was like, it never happened. And I still like a boyfriend. I just never slept with him. I was so young, so I am really.
So was Stuart, and I'm sorry to be harping on this, was Stuart one time only and never again?
Never again.
Wow.
If he only knew, he'd probably be happy. Like, I had a virgin.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though. I like that idea. That's pretty fascinating. All right, so it's at Real EG Daily on the Instagrams.
TikTok. My TikTok's blowing up. I'm pushing almost a million.
Yeah, your TikTok is crazy. I saw you doing Tommy Pickles with a couple of girls somewhere in the street that has like a million or 2 million views already.
No,
it's insane.
8.5 million. Those are my daughters, by the way.
Oh, it's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
check that out. It's fun. Yeah, TikTok's really fun. And for some reason, it's just blowing up. And I do a lot of fun stuff on there. So TikTok's fun. Instagram is great too. Real EG Daily on Instagram. EGDaily.com is my website, where you can get to the links to get the seminars and the one-woman shows. And there's a lot of cool stuff on my website of just like fun cartoon and animated stuff.
Yeah, and then also obviously the Go-Go's tribute album is on the way. Apparently your documentary is coming out at some point, and the Rugrats.
I'm working on that now. We're working on a documentary, and I also have a movie called, that I forgot to tell you, it's called The Blonde Experiment, and I play a singer, pop star, influencer. It's really kind of fun.
That's
So that's coming out too. I forgot about that, but they're in post-production on that too. And also, the show called Beverly Hills Pro too, that's a pilot that's
James, your plugs, please.
The James Madden on Instagram. Check out my new podcast. Thanks for coming out. A podcast about bombing with my boy Shuli, who used to be on the Stern Show. We just talked to comedians about bombing. It's the coolest thing I've ever done. And my album is still out, baby. Go get the Check Spot, voted album of the year by Intero Bag.
Dude, that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So check that out. Me doing stand up while people pay their bills. I was told I shouldn't do it. And I told them where to stick it, baby.
Now we will let you meet Shannon as we let Shannon go with her plugs. You get 42 seconds. Shannon, go.
You can follow me. Hi. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV stars, etc. And they tell their own personal experiences of a bad date they've been on, a physical altercation they've been in, and an experience with something that freaked them out in the moment that could possibly be paranormal.
Okay, so now, EG, or Ege, as the kids say, don't react to this. We try and guess if our guest believes in the supernatural. Do not give any cues until all the votes are voted in. I'm going to go first and say absolutely yes. James?
This is the easiest. This is a sure thing like I've ever seen. And I just won my Super Bowl bet last weekend. This is easier than Bengals and under. Yes.
Shannon?
Yes.
Also, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We nailed it. We all knew that. It was pretty obvious.
Easy money, baby.
Easy money. All right. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness that I do with the founder of Juice Press is called The Good Sugar Podcast. Currently in the top 200 in all health and wellness.
How do you lower your cholesterol?
How do I eat healthy? That's my answer.
That's what lowers it. Just eat. That's it.
Just don't eat shit. That's
your answer. Don't eat animals. Don't eat animals. That lowers your cholesterol.
Don't eat animals too, because also is it. It's true. Only animals have cholesterol, right, Shannon? Only animals have cholesterol in it.
I'm mostly vegan, but I once in a while do like. But I'm trying to totally go completely vegan. But I noticed that like a lot of the vegan stuff is like some of the stuff's fried. And
so the problem is that people confuse vegan and eating healthy when deep fried tofu and a sugary sauce. You're doing it for the ethical reasons, not the healthy reasons.
Yeah.
You know, so the more you eat regular vegetables and shit like that, the better you're going to be for sure. Thanks. So follow me everywhere at I'm Russell. The other podcast is The Good Sugar Podcast. And by the way, I forgot to mention, this podcast has been killing it. We are in the top like 100 of all comedy, which thank you for everybody for being a part of it. Ege, thank you so much. We add a song every week. Yeah, I now call her Ege Shannon. I make it like it's a thing. We add a song of the week. Yeah, I think so. We add a song every week to our playlist. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, well, why don't let you pick a song? We can't do the Go-Go song because it's not out yet.
I know. Why don't you do one of my original songs?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you go to my, God, that's amazing. I would love that. Can I let you guys know?
It's got to be on Spotify because we add it on our Spotify playlist.
I want to do one of my more acoustic originals. On Spotify. Oh gosh. Can I let you know, or do I have to tell you right now?
You can let us know. We'll put it in the show notes. EG daily song as yet to be named.
I just want to pick the best song.
I like this mystery about it. I love it.
I'm gonna pick one that I think would be good. That's one of my own original.
Unlike the mystery as to whether or not you believed in ghosts, this is an actual mystery.
All right.
So we'll see you next time on the SDR show. Thanks, you everybody, guys. And peace.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks, Carol.
Before you go, can I just be like annoying for 1 second? So yes. I just have to say that I love you. Your energy was so cool and you're such an inspiration. And then after hearing your song, I feel so shitty that I've never taken a dive into your music because your song was so beautiful. So you absolutely have a new fan and you are awesome on the show.
You got me. That gave me chills.
Shannon, you went over your 42 seconds.
Sorry.
That was really awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm trying to get more people over to my Spotify because there's a lot of really beautiful OG material that I have out there. So
I'm going to come out and say this. I think you should be a guest on Shannon's show because you have a bad date story, you said.
Oh,
you believe in supernatural.
I have so many bad dates. I can't even tell you. We're going to do that, Shannon.
I would love that.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'll tell you what song? I'm just thinking, I want to pick, what kind of audience do you have? Like for, so just trying to think of what
mostly rock and roll people. I mean, we do, like, you know, we're rock, mostly rock dudes.
Why don't you do Pretty Baby? Let's see if we can find Pretty Baby. That song.
All right. It's recorded. Well, Shannon, we'll add that to the notes. Or, all right, I'm running. Shannon, I'm running out to go eat something. We're coming back. We're doing another interview at 5:30, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Some, there's another song called Someday. Someday. Whatever you pick. Someday or Pretty Baby, whatever one you like.
Okay. I'll pick Someday because you performed the Pretty Baby on top. Yeah.
Thanks so much, you guys. I love y'all.
Thank you
very much.
Hi, thank you.
Sorry for being such a disgusting human being.
I really love it. I can take it. I can take it. I was on Howard Stern. I can take it.
Thanks very much.
Been walking around afraid of the Loch Ness monsters.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.